This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Hello everyone, you are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin, and together we are in our own way celebrating New Year's Eve. So this is our throwback episode, and usually we throw back to a single movie. We've also thrown back to the entire careers of some directors, but today we're working a theme because why not? New Year's Eve, I think, is one of those days that movies really enjoy making full use of.
New Year's Eve is such a convenient trope for so many things, isn't it? I mean, it essentially just signifies a new beginning, a marker, a turning back or a turning forward, whichever you want to use it for. And, you know, I thought this would be easier than like a Christmas throwback. But in retrospect, I realized that New Year's Eve throwbacks are in a way a little bit more complex because it's not like every movie is the same. The New Year conceit is used for everything from horror to disaster to romance to all sorts of things. And I think there's something quite fun about that.
Yeah, when looking up movies that happened during the New Year, I didn't realize how many actually happened during the New Year. Like, it's something that I don't notice, I think. Or I just don't care about that much. But there are some movies that specifically happen on New Year's Eve for reasons, and then there are others that happen on New Year's Eve, but it's just like a background thing. It's like throwing Christmas in there, you know? It just happens to happen during Christmas or happens to happen during Halloween. I don't know which one I like more, though. Sometimes I like the atmosphere it creates. Sometimes I like when they use New Year's Eve as a trope or as a plot device to, you know, move the film forward.
So I think that, like you said, right, Arvin, it works for a few reasons because, there's that sense of anticipation, the fresh start. You also know at some point there'll be fireworks. Sometimes people act silly because it's a party and, you know, they've been imbibing. And so there's a couple of different things. It's also an excuse more often than not to throw people together who might not otherwise have come together. So I think for all those reasons, it has traditionally been kind of a nice storytelling plot point. I think we should get Gary Marshall's 2011 New Year's Eve out of the way because we're going to pick our favorites, and this is not one of them. But
absolutely not, no.
But I think we should mention it because it is actually titled New Year's Eve, and it does exactly this thing that we're talking about, but it fails at doing it. Where it's trying to like connect in a sort of Babel or Crash kind of way. Look, all these connected stories, and it's just horrific.
So it's actually trying to do what Love Actually did with Christmas, right? Except
I refuse to compare.
Except it was a pale imitation, because then after New Year's Eve, then you got Valentine's Day, and then it just progressively got worse. So yes, I don't like New Year's Eve, and I wish there was a better New Year's Eve anthology. I want to see the Love Actually level production that is a New Year's Eve film.
But it had like a stacked cast. Mm-hmm. Like everyone who was everyone in Hollywood at the time was in New Year's Eve. And even though the movie didn't do as well, like you said, then there was like Valentine's Day and a bunch of other like spin-offs. It became like Scary Movie, kind of. It became like that franchise. It kept spawning things that people didn't want to see. But since we're talking about like movies that happened during New Year's Eve, I wanted to actually bring up Poseidon, which is...
That was left field, but okay.
Yeah. It's and not the original Poseidon, like the Poseidon that happened in 2006. The way inferior Poseidon, because I feel like it's one of those movies that no one talks about, but it's really, really enjoyable. So it's about a New Year's Eve gala that is happening on a ship, and the ship is going from like point A to point B. Of course, stuff doesn't happen the way people think it's going to happen. Of course, there's like a disaster. So it's like Titanic with a couple of action heroes and a lot of disaster in the core of the ship. Super, super entertaining film.
So I actually like the original 1970s version, The Poseidon Adventure, which I have to say, I'm very sorry, is far superior to the 2000s version. Yeah. It has everything though, right? The plot, a New Year's party, swanky people, a party on a boat. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what happens in the 2000s one, but in the old one, it's a tidal wave. And essentially just like people progressively start dying. So it's a great film. It's like a really great disaster film that's all centered around this idea of New Year's Eve. I love it.
Okay, just to complete the circle, I'm going to say that I've seen neither of the films, but I've read the book. So together, we complete everything. While we're talking about action films, because I think the expectation is that we're going to be talking about rom-coms or sort of more touchy-feely movies, and we'll get to that shortly. But I wanted to bring up Snowpiercer, which is also a New Year's Eve film. I think people tend to not think about it so much because of the, I don't know, the fish scene, the arm scene, any variety of scenes you want to pick from that train. Mm-hmm. But it is, of course, Bong Joon-ho's film starring Chris Evans, Tilda Swinton, John Hurt, and it is a sort of dystopian take on the class system as put into a train after the world has collapsed. Mm.
Snowpiercer is one of my favorite post-apocalyptic movies, dystopian movies, whatever you want to call it. And I think I'm really glad you brought it up in this context, because actually the idea of time and the idea of renewal and the idea of something ending and something beginning is such a big part of this movie. While New Year's Eve itself is really only realized once in this really bonkers scene in the film, there's always that sense of, because for them, a year ends when the train completes one cycle around the earth, right? Mm. So, you know, their sense of time has changed. And I like how that trope is used to inform the rest of the film.
Yeah, see, that's one of the movies while watching it, I didn't realize what was so significant about the New Year's Eve, whatever New Year's Eve was happening on the train itself. So like you mentioned, like, you know, there's a difference in time, there's a different calendar that they use. I didn't see it as a plot device because the movie is full of other things that you can focus on, right? I mean, the train system itself, the characters themselves, and it's so different and so dystopian that you don't pay attention to the time element of it. But it is really interesting that they used it to tell you, like, okay, so it's the end of 1 year, they're gonna go through the same thing again. It's very like, you know, it's like a circle. Like everything on this train travels like in a circular motion, which is very smart. So maybe like subliminally for some people like me who watched it, we didn't see it as it like an obvious thing, but at the back of our minds, we knew what was happening.
I just like the fact that perhaps as a jaded adult who has kind of had it with New Year's Eve, I mean, when I was younger, it was a day. I loved it. I waited for the countdown. And now I think, like many people, I'm just sort of, well, it's another day. It's nice, but it's another day. I quite like that Snowpiercer takes a darker look at it. You know, it's sort of like, listen, time is passing. Nothing much is changing. Let's grab an axe. You know, that's sort of the message of Snowpiercer.
This is not where I thought this show would go. Let's get to the rom-com part like soonish.
I apologize, but Arvind brought up a sinking ship. I don't see why I can't bring up a train.
We are all complicit.
I brought up sinking ship. You brought up like dystopian train. It's like, it's all about like bad New Year's Eve vehicles at this point, or public transport.
Until the second part of our show, where we are going to start talking about, I think, the lovelier and more lovelorn aspects of New Year's Eve, which in their own way are truly delightful. So we are taking advantage of our throwback episode today to look at movies that have centered or, you know, used New Year's Eve as a plot device. Let us know your favorites. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can, of course, also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
I've been doing a lot of thinking. The thing is, I love you.
What?
I love you.
How do you expect me to respond to this?
How about you love me too?
How about I'm leaving?
Doesn't what I said mean anything to you?
I'm sorry, Harry. I know it's New Year's Eve. I know you're feeling lonely, but you just can't show up here, tell me you love me, and expect that to make everything all right. It doesn't work this way.
Well, how does it work?
I don't know, but not this way.
How about this way? I love that you get cold when it's 71 degrees out. I love that it takes you an hour and a half to order a sandwich. I love that you get a little crinkle above your nose when you're looking at me like I'm nuts. I love that after I spend a day with you, I can still smell your perfume on my clothes. And I love that you are the last person I want to talk to before I go to sleep at night. And it's not because I'm lonely, and it's not because it's New Year's Eve. I came here tonight because when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And today we are taking advantage of our Throwback Tuesday episode to look at New Year's Eve films, because, of course, that's coming up on Thursday. And this is actually our last live show of the year. The next two shows are going to be repeats of some of our favorite episodes. So actually, yeah, this is technically our last show of the year.
Yes, and we've spent half of it talking about disasters and death. But
what show did you think you were on, Sharmila?
It's an appropriate end to 2020.
Does speed,
in many
does
ways.
Speed happen on like New Year's Eve? That's what I want to know. Because then we can throw a bus in there. Then it's perfect.
So public transport and disaster, that's been the theme so far. Mm-hmm. I wanted to pivot very sharply because I'm starting to get a little sad and talk about one of my favorite New Year's Eve themed films, which is, again, a film that I both centers it a lot, but isn't on the nose like New Year's Eve itself was, which is Harry Met Sally, because the film is basically bookended by the two of them meeting at a New Year's Eve party and then at the end sort of confessing their love to each other in the New Year's Eve party. And in the middle, so basically in the course of a year, their relationship develops, they have a famous scene in a restaurant, a whole bunch of things happen. But I think that those are some of the ways in which this idea of a New Year's Eve transformation can be realized really beautifully on screen.
I think with When Harry Met Sally, what we're actually seeing is the importance of big days when it comes to telling a story. Because you're right, New Year's Eve is just sort of one of the days of the holiday season that you see through the film. But it's the fact that everybody has an expectation, you know, everyone has expectations surrounding Christmas, New Year's, Valentine's. And the fun thing about storytelling is watching those expectations be met, disappointed, subverted. And so I think the movie kind of takes advantage of that to really good effect.
Do you think that, and this is like a genuine question, do you think like movies like When Harry Met Sally sort of set up expectations for a lot of people as to what New Year's Eve should be? Because it came out at a time when those movies were huge. Like, it's a 90s film, right? So it was like the film to go and see in the cinema. And when you watch stuff like that, you sort of have, at the back of your mind, you're sort of like expecting your New Year's Eve to be as special or as warm or as charming as the film itself. So do you think it did or not?
So I grew up with New Year's Eve parties with family and friends all the time. So parties, not so much, because I love those and I kind of expected that. I'll tell you what shaped my sort of understanding of New Year's Eve the most. It's that New Year's Eve kiss. At a certain point in my life, I think probably mid-teens, that idea kind of took root in your head that, oh, if you didn't have someone to kiss you on New Year's Eve, you're a loser, which is obviously patently unfair and flawed. But yet it's something that gets perpetuated, right? Whether you watch it on Friends or, you know, this desperation to find someone to kiss at midnight. So I do think that there are certain tropes that aren't the best and nevertheless still end up making people feel quite bad.
You know, actually, while we're talking about it, I realized that we're focused on films because we wanted to. I mean, it's our last episode and we are, despite what the year has done to us, a film show at heart. But TV shows actually explore New Year's a little better than movies because I think you have a lot more time to get used to the characters. So the storytelling opportunities become a lot more rich because is Ross going to finally get the courage up to kiss Rachel? You know, so there are all these different things informing that sense of anticipation. And you're right. I think when I think about the expectations of New Year's Eve, it wasn't built by film. It was built by TV.
And TV is also responsible for stuff like prom, right? For the longest time, I sort of wondered, like, why don't schools here have these sorts of things? You know, it's like, it always felt like school culture here was missing something because of the number of times you see prom in TV shows. That's why I asked. And yeah, I think TV shows do that a lot more. But movies like When Harry Met Sally are so strong in that aspect and how they like drive home that vibe, you know, that feeling.
So I want to build on the feel-good factor of When Harry Met Sally and talk about, honestly, one of my favorite films. It was supposed to be, he said it would be at the time, Richard Curtis's last movie, and that is About Time, which came out in 2013, written and directed by Richard Curtis, starring Donald Gleeson, Rachel McAdams, Bill Nighy, and it... New Year's Eve, it's funny because About Time is in its own way about time travel. It doesn't function according to any laws of science. It's just about ability and emotion. Essentially, you know, these people, the sons within the family have the ability to travel back in time, although there are rules that only show up a little bit later. And through this ability, the character played by Donald Gleeson manages to fall in love, manages to spend so much more time with his family and friends than he would have if he didn't have the ability. And he finds out about it on New Year's Eve. And so that idea of renewal and possibility is infused into the movie, even if the movie itself isn't really about the day.
And also the idea of revisiting New Year's Eve, right? Because it's almost Groundhog Day-like in that sense. He keeps coming back and he has the ability to make different choices. I love About Time. It's also one of the films in my list of movies I love that I will probably not watch again easily because I'm a mess each time I watch that film. Yeah. It's so beautiful. It's also so affecting. But yeah, I mean, the title itself says everything, right? Like, it's about time. I love how it's used so intentionally because New Year's Eve is so associated with time and renewal.
Can I admit something? And it's like a huge sin. I watched About Time as a background film. Like, I didn't, like, if like you ask me now what it's about, I couldn't tell you. I remember very clearly.
Time, Arvind.
Yeah. Yeah, wow.
Profound.
Profound. I remember having headphones on and I was doing something else and the movie is going on in the background and I just would like look over and go like, something's happening. And I thought it was like a regular sort of like rom-com film and I just let it go. Should I watch it again?
We accused you of trying to quit the show and I feel like this is yet another attempt.
Look, I think that About Time is one of those films that was wrongly advertised as a rom-com because of who its creator was. So, you see Richard Curtis and you make an immediate assumption about what kind of movie this is. Yep. And in some ways it is, right? Everybody is very English and stuttery and beautiful and, you know, everyone's quite affluent. It's a very Richard Curtis film, but it's not really a rom-com. The central relationship is not really the one between Donald Gleeson and Rachel McAdams. Not really. And this movie, I cried so much while watching it that after that I yelled at my sister for recommending it to me. So I'm just passing it on with that warning. It's great. You will cry.
The movie it reminds me the most of is actually Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Oh. For some reason, it has that, if to me in my head, it sits in the same spectrum of like sort of that richness of emotional reactions.
Oh, then I have to give it a watch, for sure.
I think you have
for
to,
sure,
yes.
For sure. Since you mentioned Groundhog Day, Ghostbusters 2 is a New Year's Eve film. And it's a New Year's Eve film that I love. So that is one of the movies that I remember specifically because of that scene that happens on New Year's Eve. And just like everything, like the Statue of Liberty and what happens and how they get to that point. A lot of people blame Ghostbusters 2 and call it the inferior of the two Ghostbusters films. And it's sort of like it's responsible for sort of stalling the franchise for like a long, long time. I think it's really entertaining. It upgrades some of the things from the first Ghostbusters, not necessarily a better film, but it is very fun to watch. Like, you could put it on like any time and watch it. And it's a feel-good New Year's Eve film to revisit.
I have so few memories of Ghostbusters 2, even though I love the first one and I've watched it so many times. But the only thing that I really do remember is the New Year's Eve scene because I don't know, it's just bonkers, it's bizarre, it's fun that it's in this film. So yeah, I think that's a great pick also because we've really been addressing movies that you don't really think of as New Year's Eve films.
I mean, I think that's important, right? Because like we said earlier, the one that decided to center it, New Year's Eve, was really not very good. And so I think the day itself is best used as an accessory or sort of an impetus for something, but not necessarily like, let's make it all about this day. Perhaps because unlike other days, you can't really, it's not really about anything specific. As in Christmas is about family, it's about being together, you've got all the conventions. But New Year's Eve, you have the actions that surround it, right? Waiting for the ball to drop or fireworks or whatever. But it means something different to everyone else, which is why the story is best served by just having it kind of attached, but not making everything about that.
What genres would you guys like to see take on New Year's Eve? Now that we've talked about all of these sort of weird genres.
Oof. Default sci-fi. Something sci-fi. I'm always going to like default to sci-fi. I don't know how, but some way, like Snowpiercer in a way. Snowpiercer is a good genre to go to New Year's Eve with.
I want to see horror. I think that it would be really fun to play with a very clever, very satisfying, very cathartic horror movie. So I'm not thinking about Ari Aster. Like, I don't want to see, you know, a Hereditary take on New Year's Eve. But something more like Ready or Not, you know, something that's a little bit fun, that's high concept. I think I would enjoy that quite a bit.
I want to see a Knives Out / Agatha Christie style murder mystery that happens during a New Year's Eve party. I think that would be really cool.
That would be fun. But also the horror New Year's Eve film would be like the sister film to Halloween. So like,
yes,
kind of like a Michael Myers, a sister film to Halloween during New Year's Eve.
And every other holiday has a horror film attached. I think New Year's Eve needs one.
That's what I'm saying. So let us know, what is your favorite New Year's Eve movie or a movie that takes place over New Year's Eve that has a fun New Year's Eve scene? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. If you have more you'd like to say, you can write to us at movies@bfm.my and find us as well on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at BFM Popcorn. And just to say, this really is our last non-repeated show for the year, and thank you so much for listening to us through this crazy year. It's been really fun.
And yes, and a shout out to all the people who WhatsApp us or tweet us during the shows. You've really kept us going. I've been feeling like we watch things together, and that's great.
I'm keeping fingers crossed. I want to go back to the movies, like the actual movies, to do this show next year and find a lot of other shows to review.
So that is us with our grab bag of New Year's Eve wishes and resolutions. If this were a movie now, somehow things would go wrong. We don't know. Anyway, we've been talking about New Year's Eve. Let us know your favorites. And thank you so much for listening to Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.